So just a few remarks on what we've been doing now for the last week or so. One of the things we learned about was Baltalan and a Kaplan. As I mentioned earlier, Kaplan essentially translates to contractor, as opposed to an ordinary worker. There actually is considerable dispute in the Poskim about how to define contractor versus employee, just as there is in the law. Just to discuss, outline briefly, there are two or four major opinions in the Achronim for how to distinguish between employees and contractors. Not all of them are strictly relevant to our discussion, but in general, throughout Chosh Mishpat, there are various contexts in which we distinguish workers, employees, and contractors. The two most popular definitions are either that an employee is paid by the hour as opposed to a kavlan who's paid by the job. The other definition is that an employee, his hours are fixed, he has to show up at a bunch o'clock and he has to show up at a certain time. While a kavlan, you do the work, let me know when it's finished, I'm not interested in when and how and where. The other two definitions are less popular. One of them is that an employee is understood to be responsible to his employer for whatever he tasks with, while a kavlan, his entire responsibility is for one well-defined specific task. Another definition is that an employee is responsible to work personally, while a kavlan has the right to delegate the job, farm it out to a subcontractor. Whatever it is, these are the four definitions. There were some major disputes in this century. One of the famous ones was the case of the Bell's Talmud Torah against a bus driver in Israel. The question was whether to treat a bus driver as a contractor or an employee. The Talmud Torah argued that the question was whether he is entitled to a pension. In Israel, the rules are, I guess, similar to all over. The rules were that employees get pensions, contractors don't. So the school argued that he's a contractor. We don't pay him per hour. We tell him, you have to get the kids to school, how long it takes. We pay you a fixed fee per student per month. You know, you're not being paid by the hour. You're a contractor. He said, I have to show up at 9 o'clock or 7 o'clock, whatever it was, at the bus route, and my hours are fixed. I have to not employee. So there's a very important decision discussed at length in one of the chuvas of the Israeli rabbinate, discussing whether such a person should be classified as an employee or a contractor. Anyway, that's just outline of the discussion. The other major topic we learned this week, hopefully today, is the question of Baltalan on an employee who was hired by an agent. If a principal sent an agent to hire employees, so we know that the Gemara says, that the Shulchan Aruch says, the Chaim says, there's no Baltalan. This is something which is very, very common today, especially in a business and corporate context. A Rebbe's hired by a school. He's not hired by the owners of the school, whatever those may be. He's hired by a principal. At companies, you have HR departments, you have hiring vice presidents. You know, the people who do the hiring are typically not principals, not shareholders, not business owners. So is it really true that there is no Baltalan on anyone who is not hired by the ultimate principal himself, the owner of the business, the owner of the work himself? This is something that's actually the subject of considerable debate. And as I alluded to, I think, on an earlier occasion, ultimately the question we have to consider is, what is the halakhic rationale for the rule that there is no baltalan on a worker who's hired by an agent? The halakha all over Shas, we know, is shlucho shlacha kamiso. A man's agent is considered, whatever he does, is considered as though the person himself did it. So just because he hired the worker by an agent, why should there not be baltalan? Some people have suggested, because there's a rule called ein shliach l'maravera, that if a person appoints an agent to do something, they're a contract killer to murder somebody, hires a thief to steal, so those actions are not legally associated with the principal because of a rule called ein shliach l'maravera. That doesn't seem to apply here, because over here, the avera is not paying on time. The hiring the worker is not an avera. The Rosh Hash proposes this, but he disposes of this right away. He says, I can tell me if someone gets married via agency, the woman or the man appoints an agent to perform the kedushin, and then commits adultery. You can tell me that he's not responsible because the marriage is contracted by an agent? Of course not. The marriage itself is a perfectly legitimate halachic act. The agency is valid. She's married. And whatever happened afterwards. Here also, hiring the workers not an avera, so the hiring was valid. So why is there no baltalan? So one very popular proposal suggested by a number of achronim has to do with the concept of Mili Vamimsri L'Shliach. There's a Talmudic rule that agency is limited to certain types of missions, certain types of acts that I ask an agent to do. If there's no tangible, if I don't give him a document, if I don't give him something to take to somebody else, I just give him a verbal, intangible permission, in certain cases, the agency is not valid. The rules to this are extremely complicated and well beyond the scope of this lecture. But roughly speaking, there is a rule that in some cases, if the agency is merely verbal, carries with it no document, no physical object, that's called Mili Vamimsri L'Shliach. And because of debate, there's a great deal of debate about the application of this rule to our situation. Just moving to the bottom line for a moment, there's a tshuva in the Tshura Shai. Shlomo Yehuda Tabak, a great expert in Chasam Mishpat from the end of the 19th century, he was asked about a fellow who asked his agent to call a doctor for him. And he said, naturally enough, he said, hire Dr. So-and-so. He didn't just say, find me a doctor. He said, I want Dr. Jones, and I want you to pay his fee, which is $100 per visit. And then the question was, is there a hotel in? So the Tshura Shai has a number of reasons why the answer is yes, even though he hired him by an agent. One of the reasons is that insofar as the reason why there is normally no hotel on an agency hire because of this rule of Mili of intangible shlichus. In a case, he says, he argues at some length, but in a case where I name the person I want, I name the price too, then the rule of Mili does not apply, the rule of the Gemara does not apply, and there will be Baltolin. Another reason why there would be Baltolin in many cases of agency is the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim suggests on his own, without any real proof, he suggests that when the Gemara says there's no baltolin on a hire done by an agent, that's only an ordinary agent, a one-off thing. He's not my business manager. I only happen to delegate this specific task to him. And Apotropos, he says, someone who's my guardian, power of attorney, overall executor, he handles all my property, then there will be baltolin. And the argument is that it's clear from the Gemara, it's clear from the poskim, that whether there is baltolin depends on whether the shliach expects the agent to be the responsible party or not. And if the shliach doesn't say who the responsible party is, and the shliach knows that the work is not his, then by default, by the presumption is, he's not the responsible party. But an executor of the Chafetz Chaim says, of course he's assumed to be the responsible party. You're the one who hired him. You're the one who handles all the business. So then it's understood that the shliach expects the manager, the executor, to be responsible for his salary. And the Chafetz Chaim says the same thing about a wife. A wife who has authority to transact business with her husband's property, also, anyone she does business with assumes it's not a one-off thing. He assumes that she's the one who she's addressed to go to for all dealings with the husband's property. There, too, the Chafetz Chaim says she will be responsible for baltolin, and one could definitely make a similar argument about, let's say, a principal of the school. He hires the rebbe. So even though the rebbe knows the principal may not be the owner, the principal also has a hired hand, he knows the principal is the one he deals with, or whoever the hiring person is in the school. He knows that he's not going to go knocking on the donor's door, or the one who owns the school. He knows that the certain people who run the school, they're the ones responsible for paying him, even if they're not actually the ones who own the school. It's the same thing in a company. If you know there's a personnel department who's responsible for hiring, even though they're not the principals of the company, not the shareholders or the equity holders, whoever they are, but insofar as you know that a certain person is the one responsible for all the hiring, then there would be baltolin on that person. Yeah, so that is an important complication. If, let's say, there's a vice president, I never actually worked in the corporate world, but I imagine if there would be like a vice president for hiring, but you know that payroll is handled by a different department or something, then that's the point he's making, that my argument falls apart, because then again, the hiring person is not the payroll person, the payroll person is not the hiring person. So in such a case, that argument collapses, yes.
What do I have to do that they're the principal executive? What's to stop the assumptions that you're hiring?
That's true, except the halacha is also clear that even though Benastam, unless you say otherwise, you're responsible, but it's clear from the halacha if you know that it's not your business, if I know, let's say, the property belongs to the Balabai, so you know that the VP for hiring is not the owner of the company. So, especially if you know this payroll, the payroll is the one who pays.
Does it matter if it's a Mossad, there's no bill about bias, there's no one that really owns it?
That's an even further complication. There's no one who owns it, so in any corporation, that's an extensive topic about how halacha deals with corporate ownership. Is it who do we look at as the owner for many halacha purposes? Is it the executives, the board, the people who run it, the actors, the shareholders in control? That's a question, and specifically in a Mossad, whether our and Clare shareholders are owned, that's an additional complication, and that's beyond the scope of, but that's a good question, yes, I don't have an answer, but that makes things even more complicated. Yes.